Amen. That is a great thought, that God loves us. No matter what a stinker we may be, His love is complete. We are in the book of Philippians this morning. A message, I think, that kind of fits with Thanksgiving, titled Curing Affluenza. And basically, affluenza, I'm going to give a definition from where I first heard this term, but I guess my simple definition would be, I want it, and I want it now. You ever been there? I want it, and I want it now. So, with that in mind, turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And I'm asking when you find that text, if you'll stand in honor of our great and awesome God. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. God, you're there, Lord, whether things are great or whether they, in our eyes, stink. You are there, God. And you tell us, just trust me. And so, Father, as we look at your word, may we be reminded that you are a faithful God and that no matter where we think we are, we are with you all the time. And so we just give you praise. And Lord, I just continue to ask that your spirit would move. We just need you. God, I don't even think we realize how much we need you most of the time. But we need you like a fish needs water, like we need air. We need you. So Lord, visit us in your strength. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, one of my thoughts when I think about I want it now. You know, my memory, I can't remember how old I was. 6, 7 maybe. I used to love to read comic books. And I read in this comic book, they had a submarine for sale. And I mean, it was a lot of money. It was like $25, I don't know. But, you know, when you're 6 or 7, that might as well be $100,000. I thought, I want a submarine. And, you know, I'm a hillbilly. I'm a mountain boy. I mean, where am I going to go in a submarine, you know? Am I going to go to a pond, a lake? It's sure not going to go under most of the creeks I know around here. But in my mind, I thought it would be so cool to have one. Of course, I was never able to get the $25. I still wonder what they would have sent me. I have no idea. But all I knew was, I spent days thinking about that. I want it, and I want it now. You know, this time of year, that same spirit is so prevalent. I mean, good grief. Now we can't even get to Halloween without all of the, you need to buy this and you need to buy that, becoming just front and center all around us. And, of course, you know, here we've got just around the corner. And we can't even enjoy the big feast we're going to have, where now the big news is Black Friday, right? And it wasn't enough that people would stampede one another to get in the store to be one of the 10 people that get that great deal on that TV as they fight over the 1,000 people trying to get in the store. Now we've got Cyber Monday. So, you know, now we have more of an opportunity to even get better deals, or deals that are just as great. And so there's this longing and this desire that we can get the best deal, that we can get that thing that we want it, and we want it now. Maybe it's not even for us. Maybe it's for somebody else, but we want it. First heard of this term, affluenza. It goes all the way back to a PBS show a number of years ago. And here's how they defined affluenza. It's defined as bloated, sluggish, and unfulfilled feeling that results from efforts to keep up with the Joneses. It's not necessarily you guys. the people next door that you live beside. So, hey, what are the effects of this affluenza, this bloated feeling of keeping up with everybody that is around you? We go back, you know, we've been studying the book of James. James chapter 4 starts out and it talks about how people are fighting with one another. They're quarreling. They're having the knockdown, drag out fight. And why are they having it? Well, the scripture says it's because you don't get what you want. And the reason you want is so that you may spend what you get on your selfish pleasures. That's in James 4, 2, and 3. And it basically says, hey, you got the wrong motives as a result of what you want. And that is illustrated in the third book of John. Most of us, you know, we read the first book of John, but those other books of John, a lot of times we are not familiar with. But in John's third letter, and it's one of those you don't have to worry about chapters because there's only one chapter. And in the midst of this short letter in 3 John, we meet a guy in verse 9. So I'm going to read from the text there. John's writing. He declares, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So here's a guy. He has that attitude. He says, I don't want to be one who gives. I don't want to be one who blesses. I want to be one who is given to. And I want to be the one who is the source of all the blessings. That is this guy. And then in the next verse we discover, he says, I wrote to the church that he didn't want to have anything to do with us, so I wanted to call attention to him. So what did this guy have? He had self-itis. He wanted to be the center. He wanted to be the one who got the full attention. And in verse 10, we discover that he wasn't satisfied. And he says he's not satisfied with that. He refused to welcome us. And this picture of not being satisfied is a picture of it's just never enough. I'm never really content. I'm never really happy. I'm always filled with anxiety and stress. And I'm worried about the next thing that will occur. But there's no sense of peace and there's no sense of the blessing that I already have. And this was Diotrephes. He was afflicted with affluenza. So is that cured? How do we deal with this issue of affluenza? You know, it's interesting, as you look in the scriptures, there are several who dealt with tough times, thanking God. There was Daniel. Yeah, they told Daniel, you only pray to the Emperor Darius. Anybody else, you're going to end up lion food. So what did he do? He went and he prayed and he thanked God. And he ended up lion food. The only trouble was the lion didn't eat him. When I got up the next morning to see him, he was doing what? He was giving thanks to God. As he continued to give thanks to God, he gave thanks when it looked like the end of the road, and he gave thanks when it looked like the continuance or the beginning of a new road. Daniel gave thanks. I remember, I think it was J. Vernon McGee that said probably the reason that old lion didn't eat Daniel was he was 99% grizzle and 1% backbone. But regardless, he was a man of gratitude. He was the only one. Remember, there were the lepers, and Jesus healed them. And of course, what did Jesus say to the 10 lepers? He said, where are the other 9? One guy came back, and he was thankful. He didn't just move on, as we tend to do sometimes. We are blessed, and what do? We run on to the next thing and take it for granted that we have been blessed, that God has blessed us so richly. But we're moving on before we stop and we thank him. But not this one leper. And then, of course, Jesus, he's headed to the cross. But what happened, you know, at that Lord's Supper? He broke the bread and he gave thanks. He knew what was around the corner, but he also knew God was there. And that God had a specific plan that he was up to in the midst of that plan. And then, of course, there's the one God used to pen Philippians, the letter we're looking at today. And he was in a dungeon, a dark, dank, dreary dungeon. And it was there that he was suffering. As we think about this text today, it's amazing when you consider where Paul was in this dungeon. And back to Philippians 4. Here you go, just a few verses prior to our text. In verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I'll say it again, rejoice. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord's near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." You know what strikes me in here is how broad these words are. Rejoice in the Lord, well, you know, when I feel like that, or rejoice in the Lord when it's convenient, or when I can label my blessings. No, he says rejoice in the Lord always. Understand that no matter how great the problem is that you are facing, the grace of God is greater. And the plan of God, although you may not be able to clearly see it, is at work. So we can rejoice in the Lord always. And he even said, I'll say it again, rejoice. And he says, as you pray, give thanks in everything. Not just a few things, not just for the things that you enjoy, but in everything to be thankful. So we come to our text in verse 11. It says, "I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances." There's a very important word there we're going to emphasize in the rest of this message. It's the word learned. That word, it could also be translated discipled. The picture here is of a guy who has walked with Jesus for a long time, and Jesus has changed the way he thinks. Instead of immediately saying, "Why me, Lord? Woe is me, God. I can't believe this is happening to me, Lord," he has begun to understand that God loves him more than he can fully comprehend, and that he has not abandoned him, and that God is continuing to work even in the darkest places that he cannot possibly fully comprehend. That tends to be not the way we think, though. One commentator wrote this way. He wrote this poem, or quoted this poem. "It was spring, but it was summer I wanted. The warm days, the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was autumn I wanted. The colorful leaves, the cool dry air. It was autumn, but it was winter I wanted. The beautiful snow and the joy of the Christmas season. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted. The freedom, respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted. To be independent, sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was retirement I wanted. Freedom from commerce, pressure to keep up. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted. The presence of mind without physical limitations. My life is over, and I never got what I wanted." That's affluenza. Charles Spurgeon, from his devotional, wrote these words, "We need not teach men to complain. They complain fast enough without any education. But contentment must be cultivated. Do not indulge the notion that you can be contented without learning, or learn without discipline. Contentment is never exercised naturally, but is a science to be acquired gradually. Brother, hush that murmur natural though it be, and continue a diligent pupil in the college of contentment. So accept the fact it's not a personality trait. It is something to be learned. It is a discipline, contentment. Secondly, contentment is not diminished by trials. It is developed. When Paul writes, I know what it is to be in need, that word need is also used in Philippians 2, where it talks about Jesus, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. He stooped. He humbled himself. He took on human form. He was a little baby. He was placed in a manger. He was vulnerable. Deepest need. And Paul uses that same word of himself as he is in this dungeon, as he is in this prison, and he has this great need. He says, whether I'm there, whether I'm in need, or whether I'm blessed. He says, regardless of where I am, it's whose I am that makes all the difference. That's where my thinking should be, not where I am, but whose I am. Notice in verse 12, he focuses upon that, and he says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. Oh, the truth is, often when we say thank you, it's not a complete sentence, but there's a conjunction on the end of it. But, for example, thank you, Lord, for my friends, but I could use a few more. Thank you, Lord, for my health, but could you take care of my arthritis? Oh, it hurts. Thank you, Lord, for my house, but I really need a new countertop, or cabinets would be nice. Thank you, Lord, for my food, but I sure would like to be able to eat out more often, Lord. Or thank you, Lord, for this church, but our pastor talks too much. Can you fix him? Watch it. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary, said this. He said, it is the disciplined mind that views life not as a series of accidents, but as a series of appointments. So be joyful. It beats being happy. Because happiness depends on right happenings. But even when things go wrong, you can have joy. It's not a personality trait. It's not a spiritual gift. I want the spiritual gift of contentment. You know, nah, that's not how it works, man. It is something that is learned. And what we learn is God loves us. And God is with us. And God has a plan. And it's a lesson. You know, it talks about being discipled. It is a lesson, I believe, has to be learned again and again and again. Because, man, we are so quick to forget that our Father is a heavenly Father who loves us and is with us. Third, accept the fact contentment. Hey, it's not a solo performance, it's a duet. Verses 12 and 13 again. Verse 12. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. He's you know, so often we use this as just a kind of a blank promise of, you know, I can do anything, God, through the strength that you give me. But in the context of the scripture, he's really referring to extremes. He's really saying, man, when I'm on top of the world and I'm making the big bucks, or I'm getting the big accolades, or I'm getting the attention, or whatever it is that I have plenty, Lord, you're there, God. Help me through it. Help me not become a victim of whatever success I think I may have so that I forget you and it all crumbles. And then there's the other extreme. Lord, when I feel like I am in the most hopeless situation and there is no way out, you know where I am, God. You know what I'm facing. You have not forgotten me. So either extreme, what he is saying here is you can trust God. You can have confidence in God. It's not about the power of positive thinking. It's the power of Christ-centered thinking and Christ-centered living. That Christ is in me. And I don't live in my strength, but in the strength of the one who died for me and loved me. That's the lesson that is here. Paul says, it's not just I will, it's I can. There is a power that's given to me where I don't have to be controlled by what I don't have, but that I am fully aware of what I do have. And ultimately, who I have in Christ. I love Philippians 4:13 in the Amplified. Of course, now, you know, man, they're constantly changing these translations. What I learned is Amplified. Now it is the Amplified Classic. You know, good night. Can't you just leave it alone? Do we, you know? Anyway, it's the Classic. And he says, I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. In other words, we're all weak. We put on a show. We try to impress each other, but we know better. I've been around the block long enough to know that the block's not all it's cracked up to be. But anyway, but God loves us. You know, that's the amazing thing, like Lisa was talking about, and she's saying, he knows us and he still loves us, right? And so he's not going to let us down. That is what Calvary is about. He took the ultimate plunge so that we don't have to drown. He provided life for us. And as a result of that, as we think about this Thanksgiving, we need to remember how we were blessed. We come back tonight and we eat our feast. Remember that it is just a sign of how he's blessed us in every other area of our lives. Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, for being able to take some time today and to sing about your goodness and how we are blessed and the fact that we should be thankful, God. And as we have sang to you, I pray it's been with a spirit of thanksgiving. And as we have given to you, I pray it's been out of the abundance of how you've given to us, Lord. You held nothing back. And Lord, as we've prayed, that we would pray understanding that you love us, Lord. And Father, as we have set before your word, that we may not just leave here and say, well, made it through church, time to go to business as usual. Lord, may we learn more than that. May we learn that we are not our own, that we were bought with a price, and that we don't need to live worrying about getting the next toy or living for what I want and that I want it now. But instead, Father, we would replace that with the fact that we have been given what we really need. And we need to live out of the abundance of that gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So, Lord, as we come to a time of decision with an altar that's open, God, may we come to you. Lord, there's business you want to do in our hearts. So may you be free to do that. Holy Spirit, we invite you among us, Lord. That as we stand to sing, we would allow you to work and that we would obey, whatever that may be, whether it's to make a decision merely where we stand or whether it's to come to an altar and pray to you, a holy place that, and sometimes we don't talk about in church, but it's here an altar to come to you. Or, Father, whether it's to make a decision and tell your people about it, you know, that makes it more concrete when we are able to say, hey, I need you to know God's doing business with me and he's called me to do this and hold me accountable. Love me, but keep me awake in Jesus. So, Father, I pray whatever you want to do today that you would be free and we would respond. In Christ's name, Amen.